Well, first of all, thank you for having me on Radio Moriah. It's good to be on the air with you and your listeners, and especially on this day. U.S. support for the people of South Sudan began long before this country's independence, and it was based on certain foundational values. These values include human rights and democracy. And as the South Sudanese people look at the year to come, they have the right to expect that the new year will bring free, fair, and peaceful election. This can only take place if the transitional government meets its responsibility to achieve the essential peace commitments for such an election to be possible, and if the transitional government meets its responsibility to create the political and civic space to allow free expression of views by South Sudanese political parties, candidates, and citizens. Another key requirement for peaceful election is security sector reform. We are troubled by the delay in establishing the necessary unified forces. And I have to say that those who obstruct progress toward this are harming the interests of the South Sudanese people, whether it's by withholding lists of names or failing to demonstrate readiness to have equitable harmonization of ranks and stable, consistent pay to personnel. With the tragic example of the Sudanese conflict in view, I would say if people did not understand on April 14th that South Sudan must have a single military with a single chain of command, they surely ought to have recognized it by April 15th. I'd also just say that U.S. support for the South Sudanese people's aspirations for a better future remains strong. But so is our conviction that the driving factors that could lead to a healthy democracy are in the hands of the transitional government to address. So we call on South Sudan's transitional government to meet its peace commitments, introduce transparency and accountability, and prioritize the use of public revenue to meet public needs. These are our elements for a successful democracy.
I'll be on the same note, but can we summarize, where do we stand today when it comes to the South Sudan in the term of democracy, when many characterize South Sudan as sort of child of the United States?
I've heard people use the expression that South Sudan is the child of the United States, the child of the international community, and I really reject that assertion. We're not looking for a child. We don't see South Sudan as our child, and we don't want South Sudan to be our child. We see the South Sudanese people as our brothers and sisters, and we want South Sudan to be our full sibling, an equal partner in the international community, sitting at the table of nations. I spend a lot of time talking to South Sudanese officials about what needs to be done to create a better future for the South Sudanese people. I look forward to the day when my successors go to meet with South Sudanese officials to talk about what we can do together to meet global challenges. So please, not our child, our sibling.
Excellent. Recently, UN agencies have announced reductions in food aid to beneficiaries in South Sudan. How will this actually affect the country? Is this a clear indication of dwindling support from the international community to South Sudan?
Well, speaking for the United States, our support for South Sudan remains strong, based, as I said up front, on foundational values. Last year, we contributed over $1 billion to help the South Sudanese people. This year, we'll do the same. And in the face of the increased humanitarian crisis resulting from the conflict in Sudan, we have added to the assistance we plan to provide. With recent increases to our assistance for refugees and returnees, the total amount of U.S. assistance this year for refugees and returnees in South Sudan, including those who've crossed the border from Sudan since the crisis started, will be over $100 million. This is just a piece of more than $700 million in humanitarian assistance. On that score, I'd note that we look to the transitional government to increase its own financial contribution to address humanitarian needs. As of now, they've offered $3 million. We've added over $100 million to help refugees and returnees, so we look to them to do more.
On the same note, what should be done by transitional government in short term to improve conditions for the development and potential investment?
Above all, the transitional government should take steps to create an environment that's more conducive for effective development assistance and responsible investment. And most of the things they need to do are the same things that are required for a successful, free and fair election and a successful and stable democracy. This includes meeting peace commitments so that there can be a free and fair election. It includes providing accountability for human rights violations. And I'd say this includes egregious cases of gender-based violence. It includes action to end corruption, and it includes using public revenue to meet public needs and doing so in a transparent manner. We look at salaries for the public sector in the society. Non-payment and low payment of government salaries, whether for civilians or security personnel, is a travesty and a major driver of the corruption and criminality that holds this country back. We look at the health sector, where the transitional government's contribution is only 2% of total funding. This has to be increased. And I've mentioned already response to the humanitarian crisis, where only $3 million has been made available. So all of these are things that need to be addressed to create a conducive environment where donors can provide effective development assistance, moving away from purely humanitarian aid or predominantly humanitarian aid, and where we can actually advocate for private investors to look at South Sudan.
Thank you. I would say that the United States are calling on South Sudan to introduce certain changes, but it seems like the country does not have institutional capacity to do so. Would the United States support with capacity building?
I certainly agree with you that South Sudan could benefit from capacity building. Every day I'm aware of the tragic history this country's experienced. A South Sudanese person my age will have lived a life that overlapped with three civil wars and began during the fourth. We recognize the impact that this difficult history has had on institutions and capacity building. We would very much like to see an environment emerge in which we can provide assistance to help bolster capacity. But that will only be possible when there's an environment that's conducive for development assistance and conducive to the kind of partnership that is necessary to help this country move forward.
Thank you so very much, Your Excellency. And the last question would be, what is your actual message to the South Sudanese people?
My message to the South Sudanese people is as I started. The U.S. effort to help the people of what is today the independent country of South Sudan began decades ago. It was based on foundational values. It remains based on those foundational values. Our support for human rights, democracy, the principle that a government should be responsive to the needs of its people, that public revenue should be used to meet public needs. And as we demonstrate through our continued assistance of over $1 billion this year, our commitment to help the South Sudanese people is enduring. And our greatest hope is to see South Sudan's success as a country and as a flourishing democracy. Thank you.